It's not going to be as loud as normally because we don't have it, but it is recording it, hopefully, for people to listen to it. So anyway, welcome to our Bible study. We're in the first book of Samuel, our favorite book in the Bible. Whatever book we're in, it's our favorite. Chapter 18, we're going to just go through chapter 18. I'll let you guys get there. Then we'll go ahead, we'll open in prayer. Chapter 18. All right, let's go ahead. Let's open in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we gather in Jesus' name on this afternoon, Lord, we ask you that you would speak to us through your word, that you would spiritually feed us this afternoon, Lord, that you speak to us as we go through your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So this chapter is mainly about where your treasure is, there also your heart will be. Sound familiar? Right? I want you to hold your spot, and I want you to go to Matthew 6 before we dive into this, because this is exactly what this chapter is about. Hold your spot and go to Matthew chapter 6. You guys are familiar with this passage, but we're going to go over it again. And I'm going to have you go down to verse 19. And I'm going to read 19 through 21. Jesus tells us, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Amen. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if you bounce back to our chapter 18, I want you to keep that verse in mind because this is about this. It is a very good one. Yeah, there you go. Good for you. Yeah, it's a good one. This chapter is about three men: Saul, his son Jonathan, and David. Two of these men, David and Jonathan, treasured the Lord. They had a real heart for the Lord. That's where their treasure was. Unfortunately, Saul, his heart was not focused on that, but focused on earthly treasures. Okay, so I want you to keep that in mind as we go through this chapter. Whatever your heart is focused on, that's where your treasure will be. Okay, this is exactly what this chapter is about. So before we go through chapter 18, though, you have your Bible open. 17 should be close to it. I'm going to read the last two verses because it goes with verse 1. Okay? No, same book, chapter 18, Samuel. But I'm going to read the last two verses in 17 because they run together. This is the same day, and this is the same conversation. So before I go into verse 1, I'm going to read these two verses, okay? So verse 57 and 58 say, "Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, 'Whose son are you, young man?' So David answered, 'I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite.'" Verse 1 of our chapter says, "Now when he," David, "had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved David as his own soul." So let's stop here for a minute. Let's stop here, right on verse 1. This conversation between Saul and David, as he asked him to come in and talk with him, right? The end of our chapter 17, was probably a long conversation. Probably wasn't one of those five things, hey, who's your father? Who are you? What's your family? Like, they probably had a long conversation after that great victory in chapter 17, that victory that David had over Goliath. And Saul's son, Jonathan, this tells us, was present during this conversation. Because verse 1 says, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David during this conversation. And Jonathan loved David as his own soul. Now that's heavy-duty love. He loved him as his own soul, okay? Saul's son, Jonathan, was a great man of faith, right? Like David. This is why these two fellas got along so well. It said, and Saul was talking with David during this long conversation. Like I said, maybe it lasted for most of the day. It seems like it, because I don't think Jonathan would say all these things. Like he loved him, and he loved him like his own soul with a five-minute conversation. That leads me to think they probably spent a lot of time together, okay? And there's a good chance that David, during this whole conversation with Saul, continued to give the glory to God, right? He never took the credit. He says, it's the Lord. He's my deliverer. We read that. He was probably, during this conversation, it lasted maybe half a day or a day, as Jonathan's listening, he's hearing David just give glory to God. And he's a man of faith himself. And he's hearing David, like, wow, look at this guy. He loves the Lord, right? And Jonathan, having a real, genuine love for the Lord, was probably like, this is a man after my own heart, this guy, David. He hasn't stopped talking about the Lord since he began this conversation with my father. He hasn't stopped giving glory to God. This is what I believe has probably been going on. This is why Jonathan was amazed at David's faith, right? Jonathan was a guy that was very similar to David. They both love the Lord, okay? And Jonathan began to love David like a brother in Christ. Jonathan was probably like, I love this guy, right? I love this. Have you ever met anybody and you begin to talk with them and you see how much they love the Lord like you, right? And it just warms your heart and you're like, this person loves the Lord like me, right? You run into a Christian somewhere, whatever, wherever it may be. I've heard some of you meet some Christians at the doctor's office or whatever, and they got a cross on. You strike up a conversation. And next thing you know, you say, this person loves the Lord like I do. And you begin to bond with them, especially if you see them often. I believe this is exactly what's going on with Jonathan and David. He meets David. He's having a long conversation with his father about him. And I believe David continued to just gush about the Lord. The Lord gave us deliverance. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. And Jonathan's hearing is like, wow, this guy loves the Lord like me. Because verse 1 says, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved David as his own soul. That's deep. Now, let's just talk about this for a minute, about the soul, okay? The soul isn't our spirit. For the longest time, I always thought the soul and spirit, same thing. They're not, okay? And it's, I only bring this up, it's not to do with the Bible study, but I just want to bring it up. We have a body, as the Bible says, we have a body and we have a soul and we have a spirit, right? As you've heard me say, and you know, when we die physically, our body, the Bible tells us, which we see people die, we go to sleep in the grave, okay? And our spirit returns to God who gave it. That's Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, okay? So our body goes to sleep in the grave, our spirit goes back to God who gave it, and our soul goes into our eternal home, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 5. Okay, so we've got three components to us: the body, the spirit, the soul. Okay? So it's important for us to know that as Christians, when we're talking with other people, that's good for you to share with your friends and family. The body goes to sleep in the grave, the spirit returns to the Lord who gave it, and our soul goes into our eternal home. Our soul never dies, as the Bible says. It goes on, you know, either in heaven or hell, depending on your relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay, so it's important to know that. Now, why I do bring this up. Our soul, okay, is our intellect. It's our where we get our emotions. It's how we think. It's our conscience. Our soul is who we really are, okay? And Jonathan's soul loved David as much as he loved himself, because his soul is led by his emotions. It's our conscience. It's where we get our feelings. It's our intellect. That's all the soul. Okay, so the soul and the spirit are not the same. Okay? So that's just something for you guys to think about. And you can look those verses up in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Soul, body, and spirit, all separate things. Okay? Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Right? Verse 7 says, our spirit, when we die physically, goes back to the Lord who gave it, and our soul goes into our eternal home. Lives forever, either in heaven or hell. That's in Ecclesiastes, same chapter 12, verse 5. Okay? So, Jonathan's soul, that's where we get our emotions, loved David. Why? Because he was in love with God like him, right? Okay, let's go pick back up in verse 2. Okay? Let's pick back up in verse 2. It says in verse 2, it says, Saul took him, David, that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Verse 3, then Jonathan and David made a covenant, an agreement, because he loved him as his own soul. Verse 4, and Jonathan took off the robe that was on him, and he gave it to David, with his armor, even to his sword, and his bow, and his belt. So let's stop here for a minute. That's interesting, right? He just met David for the first time. He hears how much he loves the Lord. He's like, wow, this guy loves the Lord like me. I love this guy like my own soul. He's a brother in Christ. But did you catch this right here? Verse 2. Saul told David, hey, David, this is the last time you're going home, by the way. You're staying here with me now. I'm the king. I'm bringing you in. You're staying with me now. Now, remember, things haven't been going well with Saul, right? We've been reading this, right? Since the Lord removed his Holy Spirit from Saul, not as in salvation, but that Holy Spirit that empowered him to be king. But remember we read, he removed that Holy Spirit that once empowered him, and since then, Saul has been in distress, right? So Saul, he witnesses this victory in chapter 17 with David and Goliath, and he starts to believe David is a lucky charm. I'm keeping you right here. When you're around, son, things are good. When you're not around, things are bad. Right? So he's like, hey, you won't be going home anymore. You're going to stay right here with me, because good things happen when I'm around you. Interesting, huh? Saul wanted to possess David. Jonathan wants to bless David. You see the difference? He wants to possess him like he's a lucky charm. Jonathan wants to bless him. Another man of God, right? Now, you would think that this would bring Saul to his knees and repent. But nope, he never had it in him. His treasure was focused on earthly things, not heavenly things. I'm sure most of the conversation that David had with Saul went in one ear, right out the other. Because we're going to see this now for many chapters to come. But this is interesting here. It says that Jonathan took off his robe. This is a royal robe. He's like the oldest boy. Okay, he's next in line to be king. Okay? Jonathan was the oldest boy of Saul. He takes his royal robe off, and he gives it to David with his armor, even his sword, and his bow, and his belt. Now, there's a good chance that Jonathan did this as a sign he knew David's going to be the next king. I don't know that for sure, but he handed over his royal robe. As in, maybe he's thinking, you're going to be the next king, not me. And you know what that tells me? He was totally okay with it. He was totally okay with it. Lord, let your will be done. If you want him to be king, I'm good with it. Because he's a godly man like me. It seems some sort of sign like that. I don't know. But all I do know is David and Jonathan wanted to serve God. They wanted to glorify God. They wanted to obey God. They wanted to walk with God. Their treasure was with God. Two brothers in Christ, two best friends. That's what's going on. So let's pick up in verse 5. There's a lot of information in this chapter. Verse 5 says, so David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now it had happened, as they were coming home from a battle, when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women had come out of all the cities of Israel, it says, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. Verse 7 says, so the women sang and danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Verse 8 says, then Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom? Verse 9 says, and Saul eyed David from that day forward. Let's stop there. Here comes the jealousy. Here comes the jealous heart from Saul. He was a man of flesh. He wasn't a man of faith. He was a worldly man, not a godly man. And he had severe, severe jealousy set in into his heart. Saul was like, did you notice what Saul said? This is my kingdom. David, this isn't yours. Jealousy, pride, right? That has destroyed more people, has destroyed so many relationships. Jealousy, pride, that garbage, right? Now, whenever the armies, I want you to know, whenever the armies came back from a great victory like this, it was common for the women to gather together and sing and dance and celebrate. It was a celebration. So that was common. And that's exactly what they were doing. But when Saul heard the women say, Saul slain 1,000, but David, he slain 10,000. This made Saul very angry, as it says. And it says that it displeased him, and he eyed David ever since. Now, David hasn't done anything wrong. This guy hasn't done anything wrong. He never promoted himself. He was just faithful to the Lord. And the Lord was with him, as we've been reading. And the Lord was establishing David to be the next king. Right? What we've seen in this scripture, and we see this a lot about David, is he never depended on himself. He depended on God. You see how huge that is? That you and I, we don't depend on ourselves. We depend on the Lord. Right? I'm going to rest in Christ. I'm going to, you know, we still put our best foot forward, obviously. God wants us to do that. Then I sit down and lay down. I'm done. No, you put your best foot forward. But we're going to rely on the Lord. And that's what David did. You know, he was a faithful shepherd. He was a faithful musician, as we just read. He would continue to play for Saul when he was stressed out. He was a faithful arm bearer. And now he was a faithful military leader. He was taking orders. He was going. He was, you know, faith in little and God will give you much. Firm believer in that. So let's pick up in verse 10. Verse 10 says, "And it happened on the next day that the distressing spirit from God came upon Saul." Here we go again, right? "And he prophesied inside the house. So David played music with his hand, as other times he did this before. But there was a spear in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the spear, for he said, 'I will pin David to the wall.' But David escaped his presence twice." Verse 12 says, "Now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but he had departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from his presence and made him a captain over 1,000. And he went out and came before the people, and David behaved wisely," twice now, "David behaved wisely in all his ways." And look at this, "and the Lord was with him." Verse 15, "Therefore, when Saul saw he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him." Verse 16, "But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them." Let's stop there. Sounds like David had a relationship with the people, right? Came in and out, and the people loved him, and he talked with them, he spent time with them, and they loved him, right? Verse 10 says, "The next day, within 24 hours, look at this, things get really bad. This is what pride and jealousy and hate and all that stuff will do to you. 24 hours, Saul went from, "I want to keep David here, I want to possess him," to now I want to kill him, right? Sounds like one of those Dateline shows, right? Right? "I want to possess this person and now I'm going to kill him." This is how bad things got. All because of pride and jealousy. That's all this was. It drove Saul nuts. And fear set in, as we read, right? God was with David and not Saul, and Saul knows it, right? So what was Saul afraid of? He was afraid of losing the kingdom. He was afraid of losing. It was never his kingdom to begin with, right? It's God's kingdom. He says, "Hey, what's he going to do? David's going to take the kingdom from me. I'm king." See, pride, little duty, and now wants to kill the man. Notice verse 10. Here comes that demonic spirit again. The distressing spirit from God, okay, came upon Saul. Now, when it says from God, that's God allowed it, okay? God allowed this demonic spirit to come upon Saul. You know, is this what you want, Saul? I'm going to give you exactly what you want. Here you go. Right? God allowed it due to his disobedience. I mean, he was so disobedient to the Lord. Saul started out humble back in chapter 9, but then came pride and jealousy, and it ruined him. Ruined him. Verse 11 says, "And Saul cast a spear, for he said, 'I will pin David to the wall.' But David escaped in his presence twice." This happened. twice. Right? It said, notice too in verse 12. Look at verse 12. Now Saul was afraid of David. Why? It says right here, because the Lord was with him. But he had departed from Saul. He knows it. Lord's with him, not me. Saul was empty without the Lord's presence, right? And this has happened to many people outside of Christ. They feel extremely empty inside without the presence of the Lord, right? Empty, stressed out, anxious, fearful, all those things because they don't have the Lord's presence in their heart. This is what's going on with Saul. Now, verse 14 says, and David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. David's eyes were focused on God. His treasure was with God because that's where his heart was, with God. And he continued to have success, right? Saul despised David, but the people loved him, right? So let's pick up in verse 17. Verse 17 says, then Saul said to David, here's my older daughter, Merab. I will give her to you as a wife. Only be valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul thought, let my hand not be against you, be against him, but let the hand of the Philistines get him. So you know what? I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to send you to war. I'm going to let the Philistines take care of you, David. Right? Verse 18. So David said to Saul, who am I and what is my life or my family, father's family, in Israel that I should be the son of the Lord of the king? He's being very humble here. He's like, who am I? I'm nobody. You want me to marry into the king's family? We're just shepherds. Me and my dad, we got shepherds. You know. No, that's what he says. Verse 19, but it happened at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given to Adriel, the Mahethalite, as a wife. Not sure why. Now Michal, Saul's other daughter, loved David. And they told Saul that she loved David, and the thing pleased him. So Saul said, I'll give her to him, that she may be a snare to him. Well, that's interesting. And that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Therefore, Saul said to David a second time, you shall be my son-in-law today. So let's stop here for a minute. Remember back in chapter 17, Saul said, hey, whoever kills Goliath, I'll give you a daughter. Right? At least he stayed true to his word. Right? That's why he said, hey, I'm going to make good on my promise. You kill Goliath, I'd say I'd give you my daughter. Here you go. You can have Michal, the other daughter, likes this other guy, I guess. I don't know. Right? Adriel here. That's why he did this, right? But Saul, I want you to know, Saul was like, if I can't kill you, I'm going to send you into battle as often as I can, and hopefully the Philistines will kill you. This is his thinking. He's lost his mind. He's got a demonic spirit on him. God has allowed a demonic spirit to take over him. And look at this. He's saying, and if they don't kill you, I'm going to give you my daughter. I hope she's going to be a snare to you. Like a trap or cause someone some trouble, right? I mean, that's an odd statement, right? You know, here's my daughter. I hope she becomes a snare to you. Right? Who says that? Right? Saul really lost his mind. Yeah, you can have my daughter. I hope she's a snare to you. Maybe she was to him. I don't know. Kind of weird, kind of odd, but Saul's lost his mind. So let's pick up in verse 22. Verse 22 says, and Saul commanded his servants, communicate with David secretly and say, look, the king has delight in you and all his servants love you. Now therefore, become the king's son-in-law. So Saul's servant spoke those words in the hearing of David, and David said, does it seem to you a light thing to be the king of the son-in-law, king's son-in-law, seeing I am poor, right, and lightly esteemed man? Again, he's being humble. He's like, you don't want me. I'm just a little shepherd boy, right? Verse 23 says, and the servants of Saul told him, saying, in this manner David spoke. Then Saul said, thus you shall say to David, the king does not desire dowry. That means the price of a bride or money. Okay? Because David said, hey, I'm a poor man. I have nothing. I got some sheep. That's it. I don't have money to give to you for your daughter. Saul's like, you don't have to give me anything. I'm going to send you in battle. I hope you're going to die anyway. Right? So he tells him, guys, don't worry about the money. You don't have to pay the bride price. But this is what I want you to do for me, David. You don't have to give me any money for my daughter, but this is what I want you to do for me. I want you, right, 100 foreskins. I want you to go to battle and get 100 foreskins of the Philistines to take vengeance on the king's enemies, because Saul was in fight with these Philistines the whole time. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. We'll stop there for a minute. He's like, you don't have to give me any money. I know you're poor. I'm going to send you into battle anyway, and you're going to die. This is his thinking. I'm going to send David into as many battles as I can so they kill him. Right? The king does not desire dowry. No money. Just go kill 100 Philistines, bring back their foreskins, right? And let's pick up in verse 26. Verse 26 says, so when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to become the king's son-in-law. Wow. Now the days had not expired. Therefore, David arose and went, he and his men, and they killed 200 men of the Philistines. So he killed double the requirement. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full count to the king, and he might become the king's son-in-law. So here you go, I did what you said, I'll take your daughter now. Then Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, as a wife. Thus Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David. Now you think this would bring this man to his knees, right? Didn't have it in him. And that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. Verse 29 says, and Saul was still more afraid of David. He was intimidated by him. So Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went out to war, and so it was, whenever they went out, that David behaved more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name became highly esteemed, right? Which means greatly respected. Okay, that ends this chapter, but let's just talk for a minute before we close. If you got your Bible open, you look at verse 26. Look at verse 26 at the end of that chapter. Okay? Look at the second half of this verse. It says, it pleased David well to become the king's son-in-law. Now, wait a minute. Saul tried to pin David to the wall twice. Doesn't sound like a father-in-law I want. Right? What does this tell us? David forgave him. David let it go. He moved on. It pleased him to be his son-in-law. David also was aware that this demonic spirit had made Saul crazy. And he knew Saul would lose it every time this happened. Remember, David would go to him and play the harp. We read that. Every time this Spirit would come upon him. David would play the harp to soothe his soul. We talked about this before, and it refreshed Saul, almost like it was worship before God. So he removed it. As soon as David was done playing, God allowed it. Right? Unfortunately, Saul was very jealous. He was a very jealous, pride man, and it became his destruction, which happens to a lot of people. It's the end of them when they live with a jealous heart, a prideful heart, hate in the heart. It ruins them. And this is what happened. He is so full of pride. I want you to know part of my daily prayers every day, and probably you as well, I pray to God that he never lets me be prideful. And you should too. Don't ever let me be prideful, Lord. Don't ever allow me to be prideful and pray, Lord, and I pray this, Lord, keep me humble. Because let me tell you something. It's easy for pastors and church leaders to get prideful. You fill this church up. You fill that side up. A lot of pastors with pride will sit in. And there goes the anointing from God. Amen? There it goes. All of the people that come to this church, that is the work of the Lord. I'm just a voice. Well, I've seen a lot of pastors lose the anointing because of things like Saul. Jealousy, not getting paid enough. Got the places packed. Come on. Right? Love is the money. Two, they become prideful. This is all my doing. Look at this. You better get here early. You won't get a seat. Right? Pride sets in. There goes the anointing. There goes the church. There goes the Holy Spirit. And I'm asking you to please pray for me that I never become prideful. It has destroyed this man and it's destroyed many people. Because listen, we tend to get prideful. Hey, look what I did. Yeah. That new roof over there, yeah, I put that in. Yeah. Did it in a week. Yeah. Yeah, I did all this too here for the church. Did that, did this. I did it. Sounding off the cymbals. That pride, man, God hates pride. And man, we can fall into that. I did this. I did this. No, listen, the Lord did it through you. The Lord put it on your heart and did it through you. He gets the glory for giving it to, because he did it through me. It wasn't me. It was him. That's how David was. That's why Jonathan loved him. He said, man, this is a man after my heart, man. He hasn't stopped giving glory to the Lord since he came here. I want to bring up one more thing to your attention. Verse 12, the Lord was with David. Verse 14, the Lord was with David. Verse 24, the Lord was with David. Remember Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. David treasured the Lord. His treasure was God, and that's where his heart was. And therefore, God was with him. That's important for you as a Christian. Remember that. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be, and the Lord will be with you. Okay? And that ends chapter 18. I don't want to stop that there. We'll close in prayer. There's a lot of information here in this chapter. Let's go ahead. We'll close in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us this afternoon, Lord. Your word is how important it is for us to know these things, Lord, that how pride and jealousy and hate in the heart would just destroy a person, and that we need to just stay focused on you, and you'll handle the rest. So we thank you for this, Lord. We ask you to continue to talk to us daily as we read our Bibles, that you'd talk to us and help align our heart with your will. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.